Next streaming service to chill is back. Let's talk movies, and let's talk the big trailer that came out over the past few days. Oh my word, Batman versus Superman. It was on during Jimmy Kimmel. We saw the teaser for it when, spoiler alert, Batman is Bruce Wayne because he gets unmasked. Wow, this trailer with Gal Gadot in it as Wonder Woman, it looks amazing.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not...
Oh, hello. Controversial.
I'm going to be pouring a bucket of scorn over this conversation, unfortunately, because I loved the teaser they released earlier in the week, which was just Superman unmasking Batman, which I believe is from, I'd imagine is from a dream sequence, like a nightmare scenario for Bruce Wayne of what a world would be like if Superman was allowed to run free and be a god. But the actual trailer they released, I loved the first half. I loved it when it was just Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent talking about their ideologies of what Superman and Batman represent. And I loved kind of Lex Luthor pulling the strings, Jesse Eisenberg's performance. But then the second half of the trailer kicked in, and it just got... one of our writers described it as an orgy of excess. And I've got to agree with him, and I groaned when they revealed Doomsday at the end.
Oh, yeah, that looked horrendous. That was the only sort of bad part of it for me. That was just...
I'll tell you what's funny, actually. Literally the night before that trailer was released, my colleague and I, we did a video about the teaser that they released. And we said categorically in that video, which we just posted up online, Doomsday will not be in this movie. It definitely will not be Doomsday. And then within, I don't know, 5 hours of us posting that, they revealed a trailer which revealed Doomsday. And I was like, oh, well, now we look very silly. But yeah, I groaned. I didn't groan just because it proved that I was wrong. I just groaned because I don't think that this film needs a antagonist. It doesn't need a Doomsday character in there. This film should be focused on Batman v Superman and the character conflict that comes out of that. Now, I know this is meant to be a precursor for the Justice League, and we need to see them teaming up, but I think you can do that without having your big bad antagonist, which for me is just a really lazy... It's a lazy and easy cop-out addition to the movie.
Yeah, do you know what I think it is with this trailer? Which, you know, I did get a kick out of. I really enjoyed it in many ways. Again, the Doomsday thing was like, ugh. I think it's a bit of one-upmanship, really, between sort of Marvel and DC at the minute. Because, we saw the Civil War trailer, which was ace, and everybody loved it. One question, don't know whether you noticed this. Everyone was getting a bit giddy about the Civil War trailer. Where was Spider-Man?
Oh, you see, now these are the sort of things you've got to keep as your secret reveals. It's the first trailer for Civil War. You can't give away everything on your first go. Like the D23 footage that I was privy to earlier in the year, there wasn't Spider-Man footage in that either. And I think that Spider-Man's the sort of thing they're going to very much hold back for a later reveal. It's particularly what they've done with Doomsday. You know, this is the third trailer they've done now for Batman v Superman, and this is the first time that not only have they hinted at Doomsday being in the movie, they've just revealed that Doomsday is in the movie. And it's the sort of thing you've left for the final trailer. And I think that Spider-Man, something this big within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, something this iconic in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you've got to save, you've got to pull back. You can't give everything away in the first go. You've got to tease people and say, yeah, it's coming. And you've got to pay your money to come see the film. So I think that's why we've got no Spider-Man. But it also does give us the idea that perhaps there isn't that much of Spider-Man in the movie, which I can't imagine there will be. I think that they're going to have Spider-Man in a very, very small role. I think he'll be mentioned. I think he will be seen. But I don't think he's going to play as large a part in this as, you know, as someone like, say, Black Panther or Ant-Man is going to.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a very tiny part in this, and the other characters are definitely going to be taking that front seat, if you will, which, again, like I said, maybe that's why he wasn't in the trailer, but I never really thought of it like that. I thought he was showing a little bit, and then I thought, hang on a minute, where is Spider-Man? I just thought he was missing out of it, but there you go, maybe that's the thing. And again, it is that game of one-upmanship between Marvel and DC. I reckon that, we're just like, well, we've seen the Civil War trailer. We've just got to put everything out there now. We've got to put our cards on the table because this film's on the way very soon. It's in March, isn't it, for that one? So, you know, they've just got to get everything out there. But
Batman v Superman and their sort of Justice League plans is very much their answer to the success of the Avengers. It was only shortly after the Avengers came out that DC announced that Man of Steel was acting as a precursor to this DC Extended Universe, which I can guarantee you probably wasn't the plan up until the fact that, you know, the Avengers did, you know, the billions of dollars that it did at the box office. And then DC kind of, and Warner Brothers sat down like, oh, wow, okay, well, this can make money. Let's do our version of it, you know. And it's not just DC that have done it yet. The Ghostbusters have said that theirs is going to be a shared universe, and they're going to do multiple films for that. Activision, their Call of Duty games are going to be turned into a cinematic universe of movies. So it is a very much sort of a trend. Actually, Universal are doing it with their classic monsters.
Yeah.
So they're going to do Frankenstein, which has been in talks with Tom Cruise was in talks to do the Mummy reboot. Angelina Jolie in talks to play the Bride of Frankenstein. And, you know, they've got all these very much big names that are trying to, like Scarlett Johansson in Creature from the Black Lagoon remake.
Wow.
So they're doing a lot of these shared universes and extended universes, and it is just stepping off, you know, from what Marvel proved can be a successful formula.
Stop remaking things, Hollywood.
No, they do love remaking things. I think this is very much the culture that we're in at the moment. The Hollywood system is very cyclical. They just take something that's successful and they just try and build off of that.
Yeah.
I think we've actually talked about on this show before, if Warcraft and Assassin's Creed proves to be successful movies when they're released next year, then you can guarantee that Hollywood will start greenlighting as many video game properties as they possibly can, because they'll think that that's the next golden goose that they can get their hands on to lay some more golden eggs. It's very much a case of, this is successful, let's do it as many times as we possibly can until it's not successful, and then we'll just put our eggs into the next successful basket and see, and just start rinsing, repeating that until that becomes unsuccessful, and then they'll just repeat the process.
What they'll do, they'll see those movies and they'll go, oh, they made a few quid, didn't they? And then they'll see Resident Evil, The Last Chapter, and cry about it. Because that's undoubtedly going to be awful.
Well, I don't know, let's see. I mean, I'm not completely down on the Resident Evil movies. I didn't particularly like the last entry. But I think that there are some, you know, some positives within the Resident Evil series. Paul W.S. Anderson has got a certain style about him. He's a very, very nice chap. So we'll see. But, you know, I guarantee you that movie is going to make a lot of money. Lot of money. And it has its audience. And if that makes money, and then it comes out in 2017, and Assassin's Creed makes money, Warcraft makes money, then we're going to get a lot of video game movie adaptations on our hands again. We'll see the kind of boom period that we had. It's that early 2000 period when we got Doom and Silent Hill and Hitman and Max Payne and all those sorts of movies. Doom with the Rock and Carl Urban and Rosamund Pike.
Yeah. But oh my word.
And a former host of Games Master, Dexter Fletcher.
Yes.
So we'll see what happens when those come out. But yeah, you know, it's just that thing. Once remakes become, you know, once we get enough remakes and reboots that start to just fail at the box office, you know, if we get enough Gem and the Holograms on our hands, or enough Point Breaks on our hands, because I can't imagine the Point Break remake is going to do particularly good money. Once you get a few of those under our belts, Hollywood will stop churning out remakes, because they're suddenly realize that they're not profitable and people don't want to see them. If you're sick and tired of seeing remakes, vote with your wallet and stop going to see them.
Eventually
Hollywood will listen.
Let's hope that happens sooner rather than later. Come on, Hollywood, you can do this. It's all good. Let's have a quick chat about TV, because I've just seen the new trailer. I don't need to spoil this yet. It's the new tease for season 6 of Game of Thrones. All footage from the last one, but all over it, there's one big theme. It's Jon Snow. That's if Jon Snow was from Hull, by the way. Jon Snow.
And this is where I'm going to very much reveal myself. And I don't know if people who follow me on Twitter probably know this, but I don't watch Game of Thrones. I've never seen a single episode of the show. I've never seen a single episode. I keep getting told I should watch it. My girlfriend has been trying and trying and trying to get me to sit down and watch an episode of it. But I look at it and I think, do you know what? I don't think I'm going to get into this. And because I can't get into it, I'm like, I'm pretty sure each episode's about 3 hours long, and I'm not feeling it. So I do appreciate that people absolutely love this series. And it's, I think what's really funny I found about this, that, you know, George R. R. Martin, he wrote these books, and he was like, hey, I've got loads of time on my hands here, but the series are coming out quicker than his books are. to the point where I think they've actually caught up with what he's written. Now he's under pressure to actually get these books out before the series is released and spoils everything.
That's it, yeah, he needs to kind of get everything sorted. They're on this kind of, like, very bizarre path right now because they've had loads of smug Game of Thrones fans going, oh, well, yeah, I know what happens in the books, and, yeah, this is going to happen. It's like, you know, I'm watching The Walking Dead because I've read all the comics. I know what happens. I'm still waiting for various events to happen in the series. You know, and people are like, hey, yes, they've read all the books, they're brilliant. And, now we're all on the same sort of playing field because nobody knows what's really going to happen. So nobody knows if Jon Snow is really dead because, you know, he knows nothing, not even how to die. So he's like, he's like a reverse Sean Bean. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Sean Bean, he dies in everything apart from that really rubbish film with Mila Kunis.
Oh, in Jupiter Ascending?
Yeah.
The bees don't lie, or the bees always tell the truth, or whatever that line of dialogue.
Yeah, what?
One of my favourite lines of dialogue from any movie this year.
Just absolute nonsense.
Actually,
seriously.
Sorry, that. And from the same film, when Channing Tatum reveals that he's part dog. and Mila Kunis responds with, I like dogs.
I like dogs. They're nice. Just weird, wasn't it? It was just very bizarre. Anything else that's sort of on your mind at the minute that you've been spotting? I've just seen a brilliant picture on your website, actually, because there's only 2 weeks to go before Star Wars The Force Awakens comes out, as we've already mentioned. A nice little picture, Rolling Stone getting stuck in as well, of Kylo Ren with the Vader mask.
Oh, it's so exciting. We're 2 weeks away. We were just talking about off-air. I've got my press tickets. So I'm getting to see it on the 15th. I'm seeing it a day earliest, the day I get back from New York as
Jealous.
Well. I'm very, very excited. I'm an excited man at the moment. There's a couple of bits, actually, coming out about the Force Awakens. There was a box office prediction, and, I mean, I you know me, I love a box office prediction, but the current one at the moment is that the Force Awakens could do somewhere in the region of $3.5 billion worldwide. Now, that is... And flat out just not going to happen. It's going to make a lot of money, but I can't see it doing $3.5 billion worldwide. I just don't see it happening. But it is going to make a lot of money, and I can't wait. Absolutely cannot wait for this film. It's actually, you know, we were talking about Doomsday being revealed in the Batman Superman trailer. I'd have preferred that sort of thing to have been held back and just been a big reveal when you're watching the movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, someone in our writer's room was saying, like, oh, well, you know, images would have leaked online, that someone will have seen it and told everyone, and it would have come out anyway. And I've always put forward the argument, Star Wars, this is a film we are 2 weeks away, still don't know the plot of the film.
Which is brilliant.
Incredible in this day and age to keep that much secret. We don't know the plot of this movie. And even when they keep releasing new footage in these new trailers, we still don't know much about the film. So we know bits and pieces, but we don't know a lot. That is amazing. And they could have done it with Batman and Superman, but they opted not to. And they've opted to just give you everything. If you watch that latest trailer for Batman and Superman, it's more or less the whole film played out in front of you. It's like the Amazing Spider-Man 2 trailer.
Oh, that was dreadful, that.
Yes, you've seen a lot of this film already, but Star Wars, they've held it back, they've kept their cards close to their chest, and it's going to pay off when it's released on December 17th, and we're all going to have an amazing time seeing it.
It's going to be amazing. How many times are you going to see it, by the way? I've got at least 2 screenings inside the first few days.
I've got 2 as well. I've got the press one on the 15th, and then my girlfriend and I are going to go see it on the 18th. We're going to go see it on the 17th, I should say. So we have got, we've got a couple of screenings set up, and then I'm probably going to go see it with some friends of mine. We might even do the Flickr and Myth Writers meetup to go and see it as well. I'll probably go see it as many times as I possibly can. Bearing in mind, I saw The Phantom Menace, I think 5 or 6 times at the cinema, and that film's no good. I think I actually saw Attack of the Clones even more, and that's the worst one of the lot.
Do you think so? I thought Phantom Menace was worse.
Oh, no, I'm of the opinion I think Attack of the Clones is easily the worst movie within the Star Wars saga. It's so boring. So boring. Nothing happens, and it features the worst acting of the whole saga. It's all of the scenes between Anakin Skywalker and Padme when they're just lounging around.
That's awful.
I hate the sand. You know, all of these terrible, terrible lines of dialogue. It is such a boring, boring movie, and it's just people sitting around talking about things that mean absolutely nothing in the grand scheme of things. It is dull as dishwater. At least The Phantom Menace has the pod racing scene, which granted goes on for too long, but it has the great lightsaber fight at the end. There's absolutely nails in Attack of the Clones that's worth seeing again. I went to go to the cinema several times.
I really feel on behalf of George Lucas and the original Lucasfilm team, I should go, Misa, so sorry, for episodes 1, 2, and maybe 3. Anyway, Luke, thank you very much for joining us. Really appreciate it. Generic Streaming Service and Chill is back, and we'll get on it again next week.
Thank you very much, sir. I'll speak to you again next week.
See you soon.